Todd's Road Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
I've entitled the message for this morning, Come Over and Help Us. My text is found in Acts chapter 16, verse 9. It's what's known as the Macedonian call. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. Now, where did this come from? If you look back in verse 6, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, God would not allow them to preach the gospel in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Once again, they were not allowed to preach the gospel in these places. God, the Holy Spirit, wouldn't let them go. Verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. Now, Paul knows a place where he's called to preach, because look at verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Now, what is the help they needed? Well, probably a lot of things. Probably needed better education, better health services, cleaner water, a lot of things they could have needed. And I wouldn't say anything against those, but that's not what Paul was going there for. The help they needed was to hear the gospel preached. The greatest need that you and I have is to hear the gospel preached. I think it's very sobering that Paul went into these different places and the Lord did not allow them to preach the gospel to those people. Now, the worst judgment that anyone can face is to have the Lord not allow His gospel to be preached to them. That's the worst thing that can happen to a man or woman. And do you know that most of this world's population live and die having never heard the gospel? There are places where the gospel is not preached. What a blessing of God's grace to be able to hear the gospel and to be able to hear it with hearing ears. There are those who hear the gospel, but they don't have ears to hear it. They're stony ground hearers, they're thorn-choked hearers, they're wayside hearers. It does nothing for them. They don't have ears to hear. It's only the good ground hearer that has ears to hear. What a blessing it is to have ears to hear the gospel. I'm so thankful that I have been privileged to hear, even to preach the gospel. Not everyone has that privilege. But here we read of Paul having a vision after he was turned down from being able to preach these places. The Lord didn't allow him to. Yet he's given a vision in the night about this man in Macedonia. Now, Philippi was the chief city in Macedonia. That's where they went to preach. And in Acts chapter 16, we have the birth of the church at Philippi. And we have three separate stories within this chapter. We have the Lord opening a woman named Lydia's heart. Her heart was closed to the gospel, and the Lord opened it. And then we read of a damsel that was possessed of a spirit of divination. She was a soothsayer. She could tell the future. And Paul cast the demon out of her. And because he did that, there's some people that lost a lot of money, her masters. And they had him thrown into prison. And that is where the Philippian jailer heard the gospel. Thus we have the birth of the church at Philippi. Now, what is it that Paul was called to do? Well, he went into the city of Philippi with this one purpose, to preach the gospel. You know, Paul said to the church at Corinth, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, not trying to dress it up or hide it, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. But the need, this is what they needed for help. Not better education, not better economics, not better health. They needed to hear the gospel. And I wish, I pray that the Lord would impress every one of us with the great need of hearing the gospel. What a blessing it was to this place that the Lord sent a gospel preacher. Now, could God save without the preaching of the gospel? Could God save without the preaching of the gospel? With God, nothing shall be impossible. He could save a man, give him a new heart, put the understanding of the gospel in him without the preaching of the gospel. I have no doubt that God could do that, but that's really the wrong question. The question should not be, could God save without the preaching of the gospel? The question is, does God save without the preaching of the gospel? Totally different question and a totally different answer. According to the scriptures, no. 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, I would like to turn to a passage in Romans chapter 10 that says so much about the preaching of the gospel. Verse 13, we have these words, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is such a precious scripture. Whosoever, I'm in that demographic. Whosoever. Are you whosoever? Well, that's an easy word. What if it said good people or righteous people or holy people? What if it said people who feel their sin enough and people who are sorry enough over their sin and or people who stop sinning? Oh, we'd be left out. But this easy word to fit yourself into, whosoever. And then we have this important word, the name of the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Now, the name of the Lord is who He is. It's just not clearly articulating His name. It's knowing the person behind the name. You can't call on somebody you don't know. We call upon who He is. I call on His sovereignty to save me. Lord, save me as an act of Your will. I call upon His justice to save me. Save me in a way that honors Your justice. I call upon His mercy to save me. Have mercy on me. Give me grace. We're calling on all of His attributes. Save me by Your wisdom. Who You are, save me by who You are. That's the important name. And then there's an easy word. Shall call. Lord, save me. Shall call. And then we have a sure word, they shall be saved. That's God's promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now let's go on reading. How then, he gets four hows. How then shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? You cannot call on an unrevealed Christ. You won't call unless you believe. You have to know who He is. You have to believe who he is. Until that happens, you'll never call. How shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? The fact of the matter is they won't. Now here's the second how. How shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? You can't. You can't believe something you've never heard. If you've never heard the gospel, it's impossible to believe it. You can't believe something you've never heard. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now here's the third how. How shall they hear without a preacher? I've run across people who said, well, I just figured out the gospel on my own. I was reading the scriptures and it all became plain to me and I understood. Well, I don't believe you. You heard something. If you've heard the gospel, you've heard a preacher in some form. I don't know what necessarily form it is, but you didn't figure this thing out. You see, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Me and you, this book is a closed book to us until God is pleased to open it to us. And that preacher is not going to be enabled to preach the gospel unless God has taught him the gospel and he preaches it to you. We can't figure this thing out. How shall they hear without a preacher? The fact of the matter is they won't. And then he makes this statement, how shall they preach except they be sent? Now there is such a thing as a God-sent preacher. Not sent by seminaries, not sent by denominations, not sent by particular churches, but God sent. There was a man sent of God whose name was John. And nobody can preach unless God has sent them. And then he quotes a passage from Isaiah 52, verse 7. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written. As it is written. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, this is what Paul did when he came into Philippi to help them. He preached the gospel of peace. Now, I would like to read that passage of scripture from Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. And we can learn a lot of what the gospel is from this one special verse of scripture. Isaiah 52, verse 7 says, how beautiful. This is what Paul is quoting in Romans chapter 10. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that say unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Now here we have the gospel. Now first let's consider about these feet we read of. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. Not the face, but the feet. What this is talking about is the emphasis is not on the messenger himself. You know, some people like preacher worship. They make an idol out of a preacher. And some preachers like people making preacher worship. I realize that. It's a horrible thing. But people are like that. You know, Paul, the apostle, said this about himself. He said this to the Corinthians. He said, I ought to have been commended by you. You know, they were always finding fault with him, questioning his authority. He said, I ought to have been commended by you, for in nothing am I behind the chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Paul understood he was nothing. And any true preacher understands that in and of themselves they are nothing. I think the story of Samson taking the jawbone of an ass and slaying 1,000 Philistines is a beautiful picture of gospel preaching. It's the jawbone of an ass. Don't worship a preacher. It's ridiculous. They're just as weak, sinful as you are. They're men, sent by God, but still men. Don't worship a preacher. How beautiful are the feet of him that brings on the mountains. The feet coming on the mountains speaks of God sending us his gospel. That's what makes the feet beautiful. God sending us his gospel. Now, what do they do? How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. Now, that's what the gospel is. It's good tidings. That's what gospel means. Good news. Good news. Now, you know as well as I do that good news is relative. What is good news to one man is not good news to another. If you come up to a man that's a millionaire and say, I've got $10 for you, it's not going to mean anything to him. But if you come up to a man who's starving to death, $10 is the difference between life and death. He can buy a meal with that money. It's relative. For instance, if you preach salvation entirely by grace, that's good news to somebody who can't be saved by their works. But it's not good news to somebody who thinks they're being saved by their works. You're taking away what they're hoping in. So the gospel is relative. Now listen to this statement. The gospel of Jesus Christ is essentially and fundamentally a sinner's religion. There isn't any other religion like this. The gospel is for sinners. Not good people, not righteous people, not people who can pull themselves up by the bootstraps, not people who can do good, but sinners. Listen to this scripture. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Of whom Paul said, I am the chief. Not who I was, used to be the chief before God saved me. He said, right now, present tense. You know the reason people don't understand that they're sinners is they don't know God. If you know God, if you've been given a holy nature, it's that holy nature that sees that you're nothing but sin in and of yourself. Now, who's this good news to? Sinners. Not righteous people, not good people, not people who have the power of free will, not people who can save themselves. It's good news to sinners. Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, who's that good news to? People without strength and people who are ungodly. Now, these people find the message of the gospel as good news. Oh, it's good news to know that salvation has nothing to do with anything I can do, but it's wholly to do with what Christ had done. You see, the message of law is due. The message of the gospel is it's done. There's nothing to do. Now, let's go on reading. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. Peace. Now, by nature, I'm at odds with God. I'm God's enemy. The carnal mind is enmity against God. That's the mind we're born with. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. I am by nature God's enemy. And in that sense, I'm in a war that I can't possibly win. I can't defeat God. He's God. I need peace. And I can't make my peace with God. I've heard so many people, have you made your peace with God? How do you do that? I can't make peace with God. I can't make my sin go away. I can't change my sinful nature. I can't do anything to save myself. No, I haven't made my peace with God. Here's the hope of the gospel. He made my peace with God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 says, having made peace through the blood of his cross. He made my peace with God. He took the reason for God to be angry with me away because he removed my sin. When he said, it is finished, the sins of all God's elect were put away. They were made not to be. He bore the punishment, and now every one of God's elect, Everyone who believes the gospel is justified. He was delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now listen to me. If you're a believer, you stand before God sinless, having never sinned. That's what justification is. How can that be? It can only be if Christ bore that sin. The scripture says he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. That's what he did. And his righteousness is given to every believer. He never sinned. The believer has never sinned because they possess his righteousness. Now that's peace. The peace of knowing that everything God requires of me, he looks to Christ for. Everything God requires of me, I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:14 says, he is our peace. Now, this is what Paul was preaching in Philippi. Publishing peace. Now, let's see what he says next. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace, that brings good tidings of good. Now, the Lord is good. Everything about him is good. His sovereignty is a good sovereignty. His holiness is a good holiness. His wrath is a good wrath. His justice is a good justice. His independence is a good independence. All of his attributes, the Lord is good. He's not some capricious, ill-wishing person trying to set booby traps to entrap you. He's good. Whatever he does is good. His gospel is good. You know, people hear of the sovereignty of God and they act like he's unfair. Well, it's not fair that he doesn't save everybody. Now, when you make a statement like that, you're saying you're more fair than God. You're saying you're sitting in judgment on God. The fact of the matter is, if God was not sovereign in salvation, nobody would be saved, but we'd all be damned. But thank God he's good. This is his capacity to show mercy, his capacity to forgive. God is good. Listen, if you come to him, you'll be received. Somebody says, I wasn't received and I came to him. No, I don't believe that for a second. You didn't come to him, because if you did, you would be received, because he said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The Lord is good. Now, how beautiful upon the mountains at the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace, that bringeth good tidings good, that saith unto Zion. It's something they say. Somebody that doesn't say this has never been called to preach the gospel. They're not sent of God. If they don't say this and they say anything contrary to this, they're false prophets. My dear friend, there is such a thing as a false prophet. There are a whole lot of them. There are a whole lot of antichrists, according to the scriptures, coming with a false message. But here's what the beautiful feet that are sent from God say. They say unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Now that is good news. That's what gives peace. Thy God. If God be for us, who can be against us? He's the God of Zion. That's the church. That's every believer. This is who they're saying this to Zion. Now we say it to the heathen too, because it says, say ye to the heathen, the Lord reigneth. I love to talk about God's reign. He controls everybody and everything. You know, you may not believe he's Lord, but he is your Lord, whether you know it or not. And you're in his hands. He can do with you whatever he's pleased to do. Somebody says, I don't believe it. He's even in control of that. He has complete control over you, even the thoughts that are going through your mind. Your salvation is in his hand, because he is the Lord. He's the Lord of the dead and the living. He's the Lord of those dead in sins. He's the Lord of those who live in Christ. Say unto Zion, thy God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of glory, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, thy God. I am my beloved's, and he is mine. Say unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Now this is seen in three areas. Number one, he reigned in salvation. Now to say he reigns says he's the cause. If he reigns, that means his will is always done. Now, the reason there is a creation, the reason there's a universe, the reason there's time and space is because he willed it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I don't believe evolution for a second. I don't believe in the Big Bang theory. I believe God created the universe. Something had to cause all of this. Well, it was the Big Bang. Well, who caused the Big Bang? If that was so, who caused the Big Bang? God created the universe. He created it as he said he did in the scriptures. In creation, he reigns. Secondly, he reigns in providence. That's everything that happens in time. Everything. Everything that takes place today, everything that took place yesterday, everything that will take place tomorrow is all according to his purpose and decree. He controls everything. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Everything that happens, he is the first cause of. Now, I know a lot of people will say, well, are you saying he's the cause of evil? Well, I know this. There wouldn't be any such thing as evil unless he permitted it and caused it and let it be. He's God. I don't understand all that. I don't. People talk about the problem with evil. Well, it's not a problem in the sense that God's in control of it. So it's not a problem. I don't understand. And he brings good out of evil. I think of what Joseph said to his brothers. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And the good God always brings good out of evil. That's who he is. Now, do I understand all how it gets there? No. But I know he's in control of everything. All things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And my dear friend, he reigns in salvation. You know what that means? That means salvation's in his hand. That means if you're saved, it's because he saved you. It is he that saved us and not we ourselves. Salvation is all by his grace. And that ought to give you reason to hope. You can come as a sinner and you'll be received because salvation is of the Lord. He said in John chapter 6, verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise, for no reason at all, cast out. Oh, may the Lord give us grace to call on his name. Now, we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy. And we'd like to invite you to services at Todd's Road Grace Church. We'll begin at 10:30 this morning. And we pray that God will be pleased to make himself known to you.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.nybert@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.